Welcome to the Good Girl Gone Goddess podcast. A soft place to land when you begin to question it all during a time of great awakenings. Whether you're seeking inspiration, guidance, or simply a space to bring your own brilliance and depth, I humbly offer my voice and lessons lived from the lens of a mixed Native Hawaiian woman, mother, and longtime partner. Not as one who has all the answers, but as one who has dared to ask the questions about the sacred path of reclamation over our stories and our bodies. I believe it starts with devotion to living, not only from our heads and our to-do lists, but living from our bodies as a source of deep wisdom and connection, which then expands our capacity to love and ultimately be in partnership with the God and Goddess within us all. So I invite you to take a breath, open your heart as we reclaim our mana and magic in our everyday lives. Welcome to the show. Let's begin. So today's episode, entitled How I Choose to Die, and I'm only laughing because it is, we always are dying. Like, there are deaths, and yet we only focus on the one final death. And I had a reframe in an anatomy class that I've been doing for this yoga training that I'm a part of. I don't think I shared that here. I am so fortunate to be in the Sattva Global Expansion out of Rishikesh. We are having a Sattva experience here on Maui, so that it's not in the cards to fly to India right now, but lineage was really important for me, especially as a Native person, although there are so many beautiful yoga trainings out there, and I've been dying to like really sit and do a proper one, this one just aligned, and I am completely mind blown at being corrected in what is yoga as far as it is to the people of the Himalayas, where it comes from, the oral tradition, and all the different limbs of yoga. And so the one that is really expanding me as a person, as a mother, as, you know, just a human, is the meditation part and the Kriya part. And I can share about that later. But in this anatomy class, we had shared that if a person lives to, say, about 80 years old, if we're so lucky and we are in fairly good, healthy condition, our hearts will beat about 3 billion times. And somehow, when we're sitting in this anatomy class, I thought about that, you know, wow, well, our hearts are really getting less and less. With more life that we live, it's a ticking clock to the end. And I don't know if you remember that movie Hook. I watched that a lot when I was little, and it was like this guy was, Hook was so terrified of clocks. Like, no, the clocks. Like, and it basically meant the alligator that could come and kill him, and then life would be over, and he was trying to avoid this death. Like, no, don't eat me, I'm not ready to go, like, I gotta do my thing. And so much of his life and his energy and his focus was on the inevitable, like trying to get away from this death. No clocks allowed in wherever in Neverland he lived. I don't know why this is coming up for me. This is so random. But yeah, there's that part in the movie, right? Like, anytime there's a clock, he would take his hook and he's like, no. And I think that we absolutely do this as human beings. We're like, no, I don't want to go, and it's not my time, and this and this. And on the flip side, as someone who was raised so deep in the church, our entire focus was on that afterlife piece. Like, in another way, maybe we weren't smashing clocks, but we were definitely smashing other parts of ourselves, like withholding a lot of pieces. Just what's coming to my mind is like, know your sensuality, know your sexual expression, know you going out in the world and doing other things. Like, you have to stay on the straight and narrow path. Otherwise, you are not going to have an eternal life. Otherwise, you're not going to earn your way into heaven. Otherwise, you're going to lose your family. And everything was like kind of in fear. So in another way, kind of like Captain Hook, know this, know that, so that you can have this dream life. Kind of getting away from the presence of what's in front of us. A really painful part for me of focusing on being this righteous person and walking this straight and narrow path is how it hijacked my motherhood. And what I mean is, I remember going to church, which we would go for 3 hours. 3 hours plus extra meetings plus all this other stuff. And I would have to dress up my kids, because in the culture of church, you show up in your best, right? So the best dress, the best shoes, make sure your kids are in shirts and ties. And I was talking with my middle child, and we were talking about this week, and he's like, remember when you used to make me wear a tie? And I said, yeah, and you used to gag, like, I would put these little clip-on ties on him, and he'd be like, ooh. He would make this gag noise every time. He's like, it's choking me, and, you know, hated these ties, but I was like, you have to wear it. I never questioned why. Like, what the heck does a little kid who's 2 and 3 years old, why does a tie matter so much, right? Because it's just the culture of the church. Everybody looks the same, and this is how you show up and whatever. No diss to ties. But what I'm saying was, it really wasn't that important, and yet we placed so much focus and importance on the way it looked, to make sure that we looked good, to make sure that maybe this would make us good. And in pursuit of having this perfect family and this perfect life, and making sure we put our kids and our family on the straight and narrow so that we could earn our way and secure our spot into the afterlife. Like, wow. Whoa. Yeah, that was the reality for so long. That was the consciousness, when really, who's to say what actually happens in the afterlife? And there, the part which still really hurts my heart after leaving the church was, like, I would spank my kids. I would spank my boys for being naughty. I would pinch their legs. I'm like, shh, be quiet. Listen, be reverent, be in the prayer. Like, how dare you? You know, I would just get so caught up. And now I'm like, what the? And I apologize to them now, and I am so sorry, but that was just the nature of raising a family to be in a staunch religion. You just, you know, the presence, the focus just gets hijacked, instead of seeing that my children were closer to God, especially at that age, especially now. Like, we're closer to quote-unquote God in their pure form, and that God is everywhere, not in a building. Definitely, I don't think in a tie. Definitely unnecessary to be pinching these already pure masters of consciousness, because they are closest, you know. They haven't been tainted by the world. They're in full expression of what it is to be alive. And I think that that's what this episode is truly for me about, is living a life that is true and fully expressed, free of these conditions and boxes around dogma that we are always trying. Society and the pressures of society and race and, you know, even culture. I've had this big expansion, even though I am so proud to be a Native mixed Hawaiian woman, I am also so much, you know, I have European descent, I have Native American descent, I'm Filipino and Portuguese, and beyond that, I am a soul, part of the soul family of humanity, who knows what I have been in other lifetimes. And so to confine myself just to right now, can also be another form of dogma. There is an emptying piece, because I would bet for so many of us, especially this whole show and this whole journey about the good girl gone goddess isn't, you know, and whatever, allowing people to have whatever perception around this, but it is truly about emptying ourselves of the roles and the titles and the belief systems that were placed upon us so that we can peel those off. The beliefs ultimately, you know, that life and the people around us, they shape our every moment. They shape what we believe, and our lives are then constructed and contoured around this certain beliefs that we really have the opportunity, once we empty ourselves, to then decide, what do I believe? And the more rigidly attached we are to them, the more zealous we are to stay on this like straight and narrow path without living a life of nuance and color and expansion. And I always come back to this idea of, what is life? You know, this forever question that is shaped. And what is so beautiful is, it's however we perceive it. And each person will have a different experience, and they will share about life. You know, I don't know how many times I've shared about elephant, but that is what I tell my kids, is what I repeat over and over, is when we think about life as this elephant. And I don't even know who wrote this story, but I forever adopt this as, you know, if we're all blind and we're holding on to an elephant and we're like, hey, what is life? And it's in the form of an elephant, and one person is on the leg and it's expressing, like, it's like this. One person is holding on the trunk, it's like this. The trunk is not the totality. And so often when we enter into, for my experience, like super staunch religions, they will say, you know, this trunk, this truth, because that is true, right? Like the trunk does exist. This is the totality. And I need everybody to get on board with life being the trunk, versus having an expanded view that there is the trunk, there is the leg, there's the body, there's the face, there's the tail, there's all these little intricate pieces, and they are all true. And sometimes organizations or individuals or whatever try to hijack this experience. And for me, I choose to die with exploring as much of this elephant as is possible. You know, and I think that living an expressed life is about living curious, is about emptying myself of this belief that only the trunk exists, when in actuality there is an entire body that exists, that there is not just one wave in life, but there is oceans, and that all the oceans are existing as this beautiful ecosystem. And where the world gets unbalanced is through this patriarchal lens of, this is the way, when in actuality, have we all experienced every crevice of the elephant, every leg, every tail, every hair? Like, no, it's not possible. I mean, it is if there's expansiveness, if that, you know, I don't know. But I hope that that kind of brought this piece of, like, what am I resisting that is keeping me from living fully? It's this hijacked belief that if you don't, then this won't happen. Or if you do, then this will happen, when honestly, we just don't know. But what we do know is what is right in front of us. And that we are all, if we can understand that this, that going back to this heartbeat, that it is a ticking down, Or, you know, like, we just don't know if sometimes, you know, there's this loss. We recently lost, you know, a good friend, and I've watched, you know, even a best friend lose her husband before. Like, you know, people lose their family members or loved ones or friends or animals, and life can be so swift in that way. There's a journal entry that is coming up for me, and I won't read it in its entirety, but there is no rush. I wrote this a couple of weeks ago, that there's no rush in the infinite. There's no true loss. And this is me now sitting in 2024. And I think back to, wow, the plot twist. If me in 2016, 2017, and before that could have read this, I'd be like, she has lost her mind. You're right. No, I've emptied my mind. I have lost my mind. I've lost the conditioned mind. I've lost the had to know what was going to happen mind, and I have surrendered that mind into an expansive place. Still, you know, there's this growth space, but I had to die. That person had to die. So in an actuality, I've chosen that death. I've chosen to put that down, and it doesn't mean it is hateful or regretful. It's all important. It was just the path. And now with this awakened consciousness, I choose more fully to live like there is no rush in the infinite, no true loss to me. It's just another transition. The loss, you know, loss may come swift and violent sometimes, or sudden and shocking, but loss can also be in this state of being prolonged and inevitable. Loss can also become sweet, and we can also welcome in grace. And if we are always in this search of more, I wonder how things would shift for us or within us and around us if we looked that we are all in this inevitable losing game, and that we are all getting free. Even if we resist it, eventually we're all going to be freed. And what are we going to be freed of? What are we going to empty ourselves of? And I think that living this life fully expressed is about being a seeker of truth. And, you know, I don't want to die with things in my pocket. I don't want to die with things that I'm like have left unsaid or unlearned, or like really squeezing out the juice. That is the whole thing, right? Like, I don't want to, and I don't think anybody does at this end of our existence go like, oh, I wish I lived more like that person. No, I really wish I got to know me, and I really wish I got to live out what my purpose was for this timeline. The part that we are taught to fear, and we spend so much of our life in preparation of or in resistance to, and yet through all of it, it's just a transition into more life. And so when we can, and that is in time, right? Through not just the idea, but the practice, and ultimately the experience of timelessness, which comes when we access fields outside of just this presence to realize we're all a part of this wholeness, right? Like, it's all a part of this infinite elephant space. The now is the timelessness, and that there is no like beginning and middle and end. There's just a continuum, and that's the belief system that I feel we access. And so then we realize there is no separation between us and the divine, that if we exist in that one continuum flow, goddess consciousness is accessing the brilliance of this. And it seems like, where are we going? But, you know, I am talking fast. I feel like this is the way spirit is just moving through me. But take what you want, leave the rest. And you can only actually ever take what your consciousness is expanded into. So this might be far gone. This might just be an introduction. I remember, you know, reading the words from Dr. Shefali about not knowing, and I was terrified at first, and I resisted this, and I was like, what the frick, like, no ways. And yet it had to be massaged and experienced. Like, sometimes we think that the thought will bring us to the experience, but life is going to give us the experience for us to then integrate through our thought. it's never gonna just be, I'm gonna think it and then it's gonna happen. I really have experienced quite the opposite. So, you know, the thing when we talk about like how I choose to die, we just like, no, I don't want to die. Like, I never want to leave my loved ones. And I'm like, then that is the invitation. And that's where I'll kind of end. Then that's the invitation. The thing that we are fearful of losing is the invitation into deeper depths and experiencing that. I don't want to lose my spouse. Then love your spouse. Like the way that you truly would if we knew, and we do, that it's an inevitable thing. I don't ever want to lose my kids, and let's be with our kids. Like, if these are the things that are truly the things that we fear and we don't want to lose them, like, the gift is and the invitation is, then here is where we must focus. Then here is all we got. Then here is the opportunity to give it all we got in whatever is calling us. And that all this other nonsense and distraction and separation and lower mind conversations and ridiculousness has nothing to do with the way we're going to go out. So we might as well be here and fully expressed and fully in it. And fully expressed doesn't always have to be this grand life. I'm going to quit my job and move across the country. I mean, I would love to. I can't wait. But it could just be really like, this morning, I'm going to buy flowers. I'm going to just indulge in this moment without explanation. Living fully expressed is living truly in our alignment with our soul. And so, yeah, that comes with a share. It comes with a soul inquiry if it charms you, as my teacher kind of says. And if you knew your days were numbered, like, how would you choose to live fully expressed? Because we do know our days are numbered. How would we live according to our soul's deepest desires? Are we spending time with people and places that are aligned with that? Or is there time to empty? And that's the coolest part in all of this. I guilt myself often, like, oh, you should be doing more and this. And like, girl, you are still emptying yourself of decades of conditioning. You're not going to get this in one day. You're not going to fully go, okay, tomorrow I know who I am. Like, I'm still discovering. So that takes time. It takes quiet. It takes inquiry. It's a journey. And so you can start today making a list of the things you want you would do or say or create if we were truly living in alignment with our essence. And if we don't even know what that means, then essence is the inquiry. Then true essence is the journey. And I really feel like the more that we have this desire, life, and the Great Mother is going to give us opportunities through possibly, more often than not, a stripping away and a challenging. So often we think, well, I want to find my true essence, as if it's the idea of more and more and more. But in my experience, it is the stripping away and the peeling back, and which feels like dun, 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 death, another stripping away, another layer gone, another layer shed. And that feels painful if we attach to it. And yet if we open the palm and we unclench our mother in jaw, surrender. Oh, it's me. And that is plenty for today. So deep kono and a deep bow for your presence today. I truly honor your time, and I will see you, dear one, on the next episode. Mahalo for joining me today on this episode of Good Girl Gone Goddess podcast. If you have enjoyed our conversation and are looking forward to more conversations, I invite you to hit subscribe so that you never miss an episode. I love to hear from you when you share your takeaways and tag me on social media. And I am so thrilled to share that I have launched a new Substack newsletter where you'll find a beautiful blend of intimate writings, deeper dives, connections, and movement classes all wrapped into one. Thank you so much again for joining me, and I will see you on the next episode.